Hey, is it true that there is a dial-a-prayer number for atheists? I heard that there is one, that when you dial it, it just rings and rings, you know? And rings. I don't know, you know, I just want to check out all these great new rumors that are popping up. By the way, speaking of rumors, this is me here. And I am taking tonight, this is a Saturday night, of course, and since it is Saturday night, perhaps you don't know that traditionally in the kingdoms and the monarchies of old, Saturday night was a night when the king took off. I mean, he did. He took off from his kingly duties. Did you know that? And that's how the term Saturday night became known as Saturday night. You know what Saturday night refers to? The word Saturn, Saturnalia. In other words, you just had a fantastic party, that's all, you know, on Saturday night. Wait, I'm getting a terrible, terrible hum. Hello. That's a little better. Hello. Yeah, there we go. So tonight here at the old throne room, I'm going to take it easy here. And I'm not going to try to, push out any ukases or any fiats or anything like that. And there will be no proclamations tonight. It's just taking it easy around the old throne room here. And by the way, I just want to report before we get involved in tonight's fiasco that in line with our continuing reportage, which we wish to continue on the trends of our time, I've been noticing some unbelievably great creative graffiti around these days. And, of course, we've reported on graffiti before, but I saw one down on 28th Street in the subway down there. You see, I'm a great student of the subway. And I don't ride the subway because I can't afford to ride cabs, not at all. I dig subways. I really do. I like getting in those subways and Vox Populi, the whole bit. And I saw marked on one of these penny gum machines, those fake penny gum machines they got down there in the subways to catch your pennies? I never get any gum out of them things. I mean, I just put pennies in there. Whenever I find myself, my pockets get real heavy, sometimes a lot of pennies and I have a few old German Drobniks or something in my pocket left over from a trip somewhere. I know I'm not going to get gum from those machines. I just put the extra pennies in there because I figure that anybody that goes to the trouble, and it is a lot of trouble, to put in all those phony machines, they deserve, obviously they need it more than I do. I mean, that takes a lot of work to put in that stuff and go around and collect all that for mere pennies. So they really must be hard up. So I put the pennies in there, and I'm looking in this thing there. They had a cracked mirror, as they put on this. It's just the only thing you get out of them things, you know. And they had you don't mind if I use the German it's not really German. It's the South Jersey nomenclature, them things, which is the more correct Jersey way of speech. Incidentally, in keeping with our new monarchy, which we are setting up here in New York, or New Amsterdam, as the more proper designation is, we are also formalizing New York language as an official language. It's no longer vernacular. It's a real put-down. Slang, it's ridiculous. Our language is our language. We do not speak the same as those less fortunate people of the more oppressed colonies. By the way, I've had a petition that was presented here at the throne room here not more than 5 or 6 hours ago. A group of citizens arrived from another country asking to colonize them. Bucks County wishes to be made a colony of New Amsterdam. Bucks County and Amsterdam County. They said they've had enough of this Philadelphia jazz. And they would like to become... Now, we don't want to colonize them. However, since they've asked us to colonize them, we may have to send a few troops in there to complete the job, which they've asked for. And we've just concluded a treaty with them. And the treaty is the Delaware and the Philadelphia Valley Mutual Defense Pact, heretofore known as PHEW. This pact will enable us to, of course, in case of any aggression, if, for example, Hackensack decides to get on the muscle, and you never know, there have been some threatening words. There was a little terrible fracas happened down on 6th Avenue the other day. We won't even talk about it. involved a couple of Jersey people, that in case of any real problems, of course, Bucks County will come to our aid. And I might point out that we owe only, of course, the reciprocal to them. So they've already asked us to colonize them, so we may just... we may have a plebiscite. We don't know. We're working that out. Now, our minister in charge of plebiscites and referendi will take that over. And we're in touch with him now. However, I didn't want to bring any more business on the front of the throne here before you tonight. This is things. You want to know about the graffiti? Well, I'm looking at this gum machine there. And I was kind of thrown there. It says Mrs. Portnoy was only doing her thing. And that's quite true, you know. When one thinks about it that way, one has to be tolerant, although no one has ever accused people of being tolerant, although it's a nice thought, tolerance. I saw another one. I was walking around scratching. I figured that I might as well try another machine. You know, one thing about these machines is that you never know. One might pay off, you know. One might give you some gum. Did I tell you the great moment that I had in the phone booth the other day? I put a dime in, 60 cents came out. It was just wonderful. I didn't get my number, but I got a lot of, you know, spare change came flying out at me. I don't think I didn't run down to Chock Full of Nuts and just go hawk wild. However, that's neither here nor there. Nevertheless, the facts remain that I saw another one on another machine, and I think I should report it to you. It says, death lacks relevance. Now, that's... No, I'm just pointing out what I'm seeing around. Oh, yeah, it's quite true. Help find a cure for cinema verite. It is a terrible... you see it. It works on your skin. It produces a kind of an acne. You ought to see Jonas Mek. It's terrible. But this is a problem. You know, you get exercise, and there are certain cortisone derivatives, I understand, that'll work it out. And so, if you will, please, Herb, I'd like a little banjo music here around the old throne room, please, if you will. Yeah. You see, one thing about lazy majesty, the king can do no wrong. You must understand that. So if I decide to sing some rotten, lousy, stinking, hairy blues, I want you to accept it for what it is. It's a bounty from the throne. I mean, you don't look a bounty in the mouth anymore. You look a gift horse in the mouth, all right? Yeah. Oh. Hey, I'm going to drink muddy, muddy water. Oh, stinking muddy water. Yeah. Because of what you've done to me, baby. Ba-ba-boom. Ah, she sleeps with her feet in the kitchen. And her old head out in the hall there. Big, fat old mama. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Oh, that's enough of that. I just thought you had another. King's feeling pretty good tonight. That wasn't bad, was it? You like that tune. You'll hear the other lyrics. Oh, they're great. I sing them at parties. One day radio will grow up and we finally get this thing on the stick and we'll sing those songs. Here's a terrible listener writes. He says, there is no truth to the rumor that recent editions of Camille are subtitled Brack Beauty. Well, that's terrible. That is such a bad pun that it becomes, in a perverse way, ridiculously unfunny. Right? Such a perverse way. And the same... I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that. By the way, here's another bit of graffiti which popped up recently. It says, Chairman Mao is scrutable. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I don't write graffiti. Graffiti is graffiti is graffiti. You don't write it, it appears. It's like, it's like mold. I wonder if the mayor, when he's walking around, ever gets this fantastic desire to grab a broom and just sweep up the crummy streets. Look at, I'm a mayor of this mess. Ugh! Well, of course, that's all over now. So it'll be all right. Incidentally, one of the things we're going to institute, give you a little foretaste of what's going to happen under the new monarchy. One of the things we're going to institute is folk rituals. We've got to have more, there's not a kingdom worthy of its salt that does not have colorful peasant ceremonies. In fact, how many of you have ever seen an opera that didn't show the townsfolk dancing and singing because the Duke's daughter is going to marry Rudolfo? Now, that kind of thing has to be brought back. We have to have more townspeople. We've got too many smart you-know-whats. We got too many guys walking around on a muscle. That's going to stop. They're going to become townspeople, and we're going to issue colorful peasant garb to them and some tambourines. And there were, nothing like. I can just see 7th Avenue filled with colorful townspeople dancing their colorful folk dances under the sun because the king is returning from his vacation in Bermuda, and Rudolfo is planning to assassinate him this afternoon. So the townspeople are celebrating the return of the Baron to 1440 Broadway. Now, the townspeople have to celebrate. And what do they celebrate? Well, they have to celebrate the doings of the aristocracy is what they celebrate. And so when the townspeople are dancing in, let's say, the first act of Rigoletto, or just name it, La Boheme, or you just name any place where you see a lot of townspeople celebrating, what are they celebrating? They're not celebrating the fact that the baker made a fantastic killing on the wormy wheat, and he's now made a lot of dough, and he's going to buy a place in Pitcairn, Pennsylvania. They're not celebrating that. What are they celebrating? They're celebrating the proposed nuptial of the Baron of Graustark, who has proposed that he's going to make the scene big with Guinevere, the second countess of Uppsala. And they are, they applaud and cheer. Of course, they don't know that later on there's going to be that dark, fantastic plot by Don Juan, the pretender to the throne, who, the whole bit about the Baron who gets, his daughter gets hidden in the sack, and Rigoletto comes along and sticks a knife. Well, this is all good. This kind of stuff's going to be brought back. I think a little more of that. And, another thing we're bringing back, and this is going to please many of you, not all of you, but many of you, we're going to bring back eunuchs. We're going to have plenty of them. I mean, real ones. I don't mean ones that just go around pretending they are. I mean, the real thing. We're going to have a whole bit so that they can sing very high, you see. They can sing Leben Lieders to us here at the palace. Nothing like a good eunuch singing gentle, sweet folk melodies like Greensleeves and wearing buskins. By the way, we're making a good line of buskins available at Barney's. They will be down there by next Wednesday. I want all of you to go down and look at these buskins. And there's going to be a few waistcoats, too. And we're also, and ruffs. We're bringing back ruffs for around the neck. You know those ruffs like Walter Raleigh, that big thing that went around there? Well, Sir Walter Raleigh, he was a real man. He wore these things around his neck. We're bringing that back. Truman Capote would love that. He would love a ruff a whole bit. And Queen Mother, but he'd just love that whole thing. So nevertheless, life is getting more interesting and as time goes. Speaking of interesting life, tonight... I'm sorry I missed this. Hey, did you see this sad little story? You want to hear a sad little story? I don't know whether it's sad or funny or what. You know, most real humor, as opposed to comedy, is a mixture of sadness and funny. Whereas comedy really doesn't have any poignancy to it at all. It's just there. And this is what I hold against so many so-called comics today, that there's not much behind what they do except the laugh that they create, which is fine. This is a nice product. It's like no-cal humor, really. All the calories have been removed, and nothing but the good, rich, wonderful, vapid taste of an artificial... Hello, girls. Isn't she? Poor Barbara. But I don't know whether this is funny or not. It is to me, but it's one of the saddest stories I've heard in a long time. Do you remember Hildegard? Listen to this story about you. This might have sneaked by you. Hildegard, this is a story filed in a place called New Holstein. All right. It says, Fame Cafe singer Hildegard attended, quote, a homecoming for Hildegard in New Holstein Saturday. Now, this is, somebody sent me this piece one of my spies, from apparently the New Holstein newspaper. Wherever it is, I don't know where it is. Like most listeners, he only had about two or three marbles working, so he did not tell me what paper it came from or anything. I like the listener who thinks that I am so dense that they have to underline the significant parts in an article. Curiously enough, they always underline the least significant. I've noticed that. It was just part of listenerdom. However, be that as it may, you can see why I'm never going to be as popular as Johnny Carson. However, be that as it may, famed cafe singer Hildegard attended a homecoming for Hildegard in New Holstein Saturday. But the event was snubbed by a feuding common council and apparently ignored by most of the citizens. Now, that's terrible to have a triumphant return and nobody shows up. I mean, not really. That really is sad. But listen, you haven't heard the rest of it. Returning to her childhood hometown, Hildegard was greeted by Mayor Jerome Wink, the police chief, the Chamber of Commerce president, and a crowd of 20 people. You know, it sounds to me a little bit like she lives in the land of the Munchkins. That does. It sounds like a little story out of Oz, you know, Mayor Jerome Wink and the 20 people. The Rage of Europe during the 30s. Hildegard returned to America in 1938, starring on radio and in the nation's top supper clubs. The singer introduced numbers of hit songs, including The Last Time I Saw Paris, I'll Be Seeing You, and Hi Lily, Hi Low. From 1940 through 1946, she was selected among the 10 best-dressed women in the United States. Can you imagine slipping off the 10 best-dressed women of the 1940s? No, can you imagine the day that you don't make it? Can you imagine? And you wonder, what the heck happened? What happened? You know, and you stand in front of the mirror and you say, well, look, gee, and somebody, it turns out, you know, you went out one day and your shoestrings were loose and, you know, your girdle was popping and you just don't make it. I've always wondered, not so much about the number one on these lists, you know, the best dressed person, is the number five. Where is he lousing up? He really must be something bad. And, of course, here's what happened. You know, she was big. You know? So Saturday, Hildegard was presented with a key in New Holstein and an official proclamation designating the weekend as homecoming for Hildegard. Earlier, Mayor Wink had announced publicly that a new street was going to be named Hildegard Lane. But the common council refused to permit the street to be named that. It said... How about that? Oh, wow. It said that to do so would be a slight to other famous natives of New Holstein, a community of 2,000. And you know how many famous people have come from New Holstein. I mean, certainly, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I mean, that's cutting down Charlie Gutstop, you know, who ran that deli down there on 4th Street for so many years and turned out the best pickle-lily in town. I mean, you can't cut that guy down. You'd have to name Charlie Gutstop Street, too, you know? And so they wouldn't do it. Listen to the saddest line of all. The singer stayed at a hotel in Sheboygan, 25 miles away. She exclaimed, "They couldn't get a room for me in my hometown. There was no room for me at the inn." Isn't this a sad story? Oh, gee, I mean, you know, it really is, you know. It makes me pull for her, you know. They sounded like a whole bunch of real clots out there. Boo, New Holstein. Boo, boo, boo. Hooray for Charlie Gutstop, but boo, New Holstein. Oh, bad scene. Well, of course, fame, you know. I mean, half of the time when you do... How many times have you been involved in a party? And everybody pretends it's a groovy party, and it's a real fantastic, unbelievable drag. I mean, so bad that there's no hiding it. Everybody knows it's a turkey. I mean, really, unbelievable turkey. And so nobody says anything about the party. They keep talking about the broken glass, or, you know, they keep talking about what Fred is going to do down there. Oh, I went to a party one night that was supposed to be the greatest party that was happening in the village. And, you know, a very chic type place, and it was happening on Lower Fifth Avenue. You know, this is there's certain types. The village, for those of you who don't know the village is not a homogenous place. I mean, The village, there's only certain parts that could be designated the real village. A lot of other parts that are called the village today aren't village at all. They're real estate promotions. For example, a few years ago, village property and village apartments became very, very in. That's the thing to have, see. So a lot of guys that had crummy, rotten, miserable buildings that were way out of the village, they said, well, this is a lower village south. or this is the East Village. East Village, my foot. There's no such thing as the East Village. That's a delusion and a snare. That's plain Lower East Side Slumsville, friend. That's all. And so a lot of people fell for it, you know. Next thing you know, they bought this, you know, they put $300 a month down on this gigantic bag of cockroaches and moved in. And they thought they were living the life, you know, that Vogue magazine tells them is so groovy. Speaking of snares and delusions, this is WOR, and we're here in New York. Year one.
At this very moment, a mysterious psychic spell is being placed on you. You will go to your mailbox very shortly, and you will place in the mail a check for $2. Addressed to Year One. 460 West 34th Street. New York. New York. And shortly thereafter, you will own the magnificent Year One poster, and your entire life will flash before your eyes.
Well, I'm telling the truth, you see. That's why I never get popular, because I tell the truth, you know. I mean, I tell it the way it is, baby, you know. And so this whole crowd moved down to the Lower East Side. Of course, the village continued to be the village, and you know? I kept working away over there around Sheridan Square. This is the village, you know, Sheridan Square, that whole area there. And they were totally unperturbed, you know. They never, to them, the East Village was just like West Hackensack, and you know. It had nothing to do with it. Now, there's another kind of village, you see. There's the old village of Edna St. Vincent Millay, that type, you know. The Washington Square, Henry, the writers used to write a lot about this area. In fact, Mark Twain lived for a while down that area. So did not only Mark Twain, but what was his name? O. Henry lived down there for a while. Well, it depends on how far west, honey. You know, 13th Street extends well into Passaic. West 13th Street between... Yeah, that's the village. West 13th between 6th and 7th. You're official. That's the village. You've made it. Just barely. But another 12 feet north, and you'd have been in Chelsea, honey. I mean, that's right. You know, you're talking to a real New Yorker here, you know. So, nevertheless, 14th Street is not the village. Not the village. Although, I predict there will be a movement, there will be a thing called the North Village. Watch. If there's the East Village, why not the North Village? And the North Village will extend roughly almost to 96th Street. It'll extend just past Yorkville. And, sure, I mean, it's all... this is a big business. So, nevertheless, I was invited to this apartment. See, it was held, you know, right in the heart of Big Money Village. And there's a Big Money type village. You must understand that there's certain girls who go to Bennington, chicks who go to places like Sweetbriar. They want to go to the village, you see. So, now there's two ways they go. Either they go down to the Lower East Side and are shortly thereafter found in an air shaft 5 days after the event, or, this is true, or they go down and they rent a penthouse at number three Fifth Avenue, and say they're in the village because they can see the arch from where they live, you see. And now that's another kind of village. That's a very special type. Hey, what am I doing here tonight? I'm liable to be mobbed, you know, if I leave the. So nevertheless, I'm invited to one of those apartments. Say, very, very chicsville. So I said, great, you know, this is going to be a groovy party. So. I get down there, You know, you never arrive at a party like that on time, see, which is a terrible mistake because for the stuff that they have bought for the party to eat or anything else lasts roughly, oh, maybe 12, 13 seconds at any given party down in the village, because almost all parties in the village are accompanied by great hordes of very hungry people and thirsty people who live by the party, literally. I know one guy who lived by parties, absolutely lived by parties, for over 10 years in the village. In fact, he got very fat because he was eating nothing but Fritos. And, you know, you can't live on Fritos and clam dip. He was living on Fritos, clam dip, and watered-down scotch. And his whole life, that's what it was. And, of course, his teeth fell out and all that. But nevertheless, he did this for over 10 years. He was, by the way, a columnist for the Village Voice, in case you're curious. However, the party with many people is more than a party. It's an economic necessity. You must understand that the party, which was originally thought of as a social gathering of convivial souls, it's a great concept. But in reality, the party is a place where a lot of guys go and fill their gut and look for chicks. Those two things, that's it. And they'll range from one party to the next, wherever they know of there's a party, and they'll walk down the street, you see. You walk down any given street on a Saturday night. And here, by the way, I'm going to start a real subversive movement. Look, it's Saturday night, gang, and you're walking around, you're a Jersey type, right? And you've never been to a real, you know, a real village party and all that stuff, and your idea of a big thing is to go to, you know, the opening of the bowling season down at the Rotary Club. Well, I want to tell you this. If you come to New York and you want something to do, well, all right, you park your car somewhere. I would suggest you park your car someplace in West Orange. Don't bring it to New York. Get on a bus, come into New York, and then, see, you got to come in costume. See, there's two types of parties. Either you come wearing your tattersall jacket and white shirt buttoned down, chino pants, get yourself a pair of Abercrombie & Fitch loafers. That's one kind of party. You see, that's the... That's the ex-college type party. Then there's the other type. You get yourself an old sweatshirt down at the, let's go to the sporting goods section, the Sears Roebuck. Throw it out in the street for about 4 or 5 weeks. And, you keep watching guys run over it and stuff. Then you take it out, you know, take it out of the curb there and shake the cigar butts and crud out of it. Now you're ready. You've got a shirt now. Now, I assume you've been doing the same thing with a pair of old chino pants. You've thrown them out in the back there. Spray some paint, some bug juice on it. Let a couple of guys spit tobacco juice on it. You know, let it all whole bit. Cut off the bottoms, right? Get yourself a couple of old, used 616 tires, right? Cut two chunks out of it, roughly the shape of the bottom of your foot. Tie those chunks onto your feet with pieces of, you get pieces of burlap. And now you're ready to go. You are in business. Now, I would suggest also that you pick yourself up any kind of cheap type trinket. See, this gets very hip. Get yourself a package of Cracker Jack, right? Open up the Cracker Jack. Pour the Cracker Jack out. You're too big for that kind of stuff. It sticks to the top of your mouth anyway. Pour that stuff out. Now, there will be a prize in the Cracker Jack. You take this prize. I don't care what it is, a plastic parking meter. It can be a compass that doesn't work. It can be the Ten Commandments inscribed on the head of a grain of rice, anything like that. You take that out, right? You tie that around your neck on a string and get an old crummy piece of string, and you tell everybody you got it in this little town in Mexico. And it's a very serious folk hex, which you know the secret of, but you're not telling. Now you are ready to go down into the village. Okay, now first of all, I want to tell you, these pieces of tire hurt like hell on the bottom of your feet. You'll have to get used to that, because if you're going to really live the high life, friends, you have to sacrifice something for it. Anything good is worth sacrificing for. Now, okay, walk as little as possible on these babies. Man, they will give you blisters that don't stop. I mean, there's a certain brand of tire that will give you a blister that will last for like maybe 10, 20 years, maybe turn into cancer. So, now, you get out of the bus. Now, I'm giving you some serious advice, friend. You think I'm being funny? Get out of the bus at 13th and, I'd say 13th's a good street to try, 13th and 5th Avenue, right? Now, there's a bus that goes right down to the square there, see? And you get off at 13th Street. Now, You got your buddy with you. See, he's wearing a. Go get yourself a couple. I'll tell you what I think is going to be the new big in thing. How many have you have seen recently gunny sacks? Have you really looked at a gunny sack? I mean, a gunny sack. I'm not talking about a shift made out of burlap in the African style. No, I'm talking about gunny sacks, the ones with the big X's on the back. And it says U.S. Select, you know, something like that on the back. But the gunny sack makes a marvelous hair shirt. Because today we have a society that is wracked with unbelievable conscience problems, right? Now, you understand what the hair shirt is about? The hair shirt is supposed to scratch the you-know-what out of you. And it'll constantly remind you what a sinner you are. And so I predict that there's going to be a wave of fashions based on the gunny sack. How do you like that, Barbara? I really do. I predict this. And people, of course, you can't wear a gunny sack next to your skin because you just won't have any skin in 5 minutes. I know that. So they will be lined. They will be lined. And you can take a gunny sack and you cut the tops of it out, see? And if you're a small enough person, you got a whole thing right there. You got a dress, you know? And then you take a chain, a rusty chain around your waist, and man, you've got something really going. Joan Baez would flip. She would just be burned up with total and complete jealousy for that. Now, when you do that, of course, you don't want to wear bare feet. Bare feet are out. Because bare feet, you see, do not really denote poverty. Because bare feet connects you. Well, you see people running around their bare feet on the French Riviera, you know? I mean, everybody's got a set of bare feet, right? So what you do... I'm sorry. my irrefutable logic tonight stuns me. However, however, let's face it, though. There's one thing that's important. That poverty, you see, attempts to fight against that kind of stuff. So if you really want to be poverty-stricken, you want to go to a party, take some old gauze. You know what is it, gauze? You know, like out of your medicine cabinet, see? Thrum that out into the street for about 4 weeks. Until that's all run over and dirty and cruddy and, you know, the streetcars, everything, you know, the whole bit, oil all over it. Then wrap that very carefully all around your feet with a little mercurochrome found in it. It look like blood-stained bandages. Now, you wear that and your burlap shirt with a chain around your waist, and you are ready for anything that can happen, man. I'll tell you, a lot of stuff will happen. What you do is get out of the bus at 13th Street and... say, Fifth Avenue. You walk down the street. Now, don't look around. Don't, because the first thing that happens, you're obviously a tourist. If you go, oh, look at that, man. You don't do that. See, oh, look at the hippie. None of that stuff. Remember, you are attempting to do, as they say uptown, pass. You are passing, right? So you walk along 13th Street, and then you see up about maybe three or four doors into the street, you see upstairs in one place, the windows are all open. You see a lot of bodies moiling around. You hear a lot of yelling. Okay, that is your first prospect. You go right into that place, see? You follow the noise, and there will be a door up there. A lot of people yelling. You bang on the door. The door will open. You say, I'm a friend of Manny's. And they say, oh, of course, come on in. Within 30 seconds, you are in the middle of all those moiling bodies, and everybody thinks they met you, you know, and they're all doing the same thing you are. Now, you got to be quick about this, or you can waste a lot of your time, friends, in bad scenes, bad parties. Look immediately and see if there's any booze. If it's gone, forget it. Go. I mean, you can't waste your time. Or if, you know, if all the popcorn is gone, all that stuff, and the potato chips have all been stepped on, there's nothing but a lot of people laying in the bedroom, get out of there quick. Go down the stairs quick and go continue up the street. I will guarantee you, within an hour, you can have attended 15 or more parties if you're quick enough on your feet. And wherever you go, you will find the arms will be open. Welcome. Now, I would say this. If you're planning to go into New York and have dinner beforehand, forget it. That's why you're doing this. That's the whole point of this. You have dinner at the parties. You drink all the booze. You eat all the clam dip. And, you know, oh, yeah, you may even run into some part. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Be careful. This could be dangerous. I mean, because the fine line between reality and Funsville is very fine. You're liable to find yourself in a party, and all of a sudden there's going to be a lot of banging on the doors, and in comes the fuzz. Well, you don't want that, do you? Okay, well, maybe you do. I don't know. I don't know, because I just wanted to give you a little warning that some of these parties, the people ain't smoking Winston's. You know, it ain't springtime there with the Oasis going. Some of these parties could very well land you in more hot water than you thought you ever would find on a Saturday night, a quick one. And so 4 weeks later, when you get back from your vacation, which you have spent in the tombs, you'll have a lot of fantastic stories to tell your friends, and you will be a local hero. And the Bergen Record will come and interview you. However, I mean, and then, and by the way, you can join forces with Mailer and write a book. However, I can say this. Have you noticed that almost everybody today is doing stuff for to get experience? Not to do what it is, but to get experience, to get material. And I suspect that this is Mailer's whole shtick now. Well, I predict within 3 months there will be a book called My... it'll be something like... another country, or the 53rd state, and other sad stories by a defeated, beautiful, wonderful, unbelievably superior idealist, Norman Mailer. I predict that there is already a book that is in galleys, possibly even, I don't want to go on with that, but I just predict it. I'm making a prediction that the book is already on its way, and it will be loved by the New Republic. They'll love it. They'll eat that up, boy, like tomorrow morning's Wheaties. However, now, do you want more information on that party that you want to attend? Now, I'm going to give you some other advice now. As you work further on down, now, 13th Street is a nice neutral street. The people along those streets, 13th, down to around 10th Street. These are nice middle-class village-type parties. Everybody there went to Mount Holyoke. Everybody in that crowd there, oh, yes, it's a great crowd. They all write copy somewhere. They're all creative, very creative, unbelievably creative crowd. And don't ask to see any of their creations, but nevertheless, they're very creative people. And you may run into Nat Hentoff there. Oh, that'd be exciting. You see all these, and the Jules Pfeiffers, the Darling, and the whole crowd. Now, as you get further down, there's certain areas you've got to be careful about because you're going to run into some very, very tricky scenes. Now, let's say this. Let's say you're walking along Greenwich. Look out. You're walking along Greenwich, see, and you see this great crowd up there, say, on Christopher Street, right off Greenwich. You see a lot of big moiling bodies, a lot of yelling and hollering and Afghan dogs jumping out of the window. Look out. You're able to fight yourself into something you never thought you were going to. You know, oh, it's lovely, exciting. Now, yeah. And especially if you come from Hackensack, where not much of that stuff happens, you're able to find yourself in some real good scenes. Now, as you work further east, it gets hairier and hairier. I mean, it really does. You're liable to find yourself way over on the east side, and there's a big party there, and you go in, you sit around, you wonder what they're doing, and it turns out they're making Molotov cocktails. Now, this is not exactly clam dip. It could be exciting, very educational. Now, as you go further on south now, you continue to go, and this is our little party map we're giving here tonight. If you continue further south, you may again run into a belt of real parties. Now, that could be exciting. That really is groovy. Now, you're down around, say, Mulberry Street now, right? Those guys down there have not yet discovered that they're in the lower east, lower village. I mean, they're just so, they're still sitting around over the deli. They're eating pickles and stuff. Now, you get down into that area, and you see a large, moiling crowd of bodies, and you go upstairs. You may find yourself in, a real party. Everybody starts pressing stuffed cabbage into you, start drinking root beer and stuff. Or, and this has to be said right here, you may find yourself in a giant floating crap game operated by the mafia. In which case, I would suggest, one of two things. Both of them involve a lot of running. Now, see, the only two I can suggest is either try to get out the back window quick, down the air shaft and run, or go down the front stairs quick and run. However, now, we've exhausted that. Not really. There's another type of party. Now, I don't know why I started all this tonight, but it's Saturday night. It's summer. Everybody's feeling the itch. There's another type of party, And this occurs quite often on Saturday night. And that, it could be called roughly the gallery party. Now, that's a special, very special type of party. Now, you have to have a... This requires an aficionado's taste. After you've exhausted all the lesser parties, I assume now you're a rookie. Now, I'm addressing my remarks to people who have, in this case, who have made the 13th Street scene, who have been in the parties on 10th Street that involve long, involved discussions of urban renewal, and Jane What's-Her-Name's latest book on how Manhattan could be turned into utopia if they listen to her. You've made that route. You've already discussed Michael Smith's latest review of what that fantastic play that just opened down at the Armpit Theater, in the Village Voice. You've made that scene, right? Now you wish to move into the, I like to call it really the postgraduate ranks. You wish to enjoy a little more of the subtleties of party going. That would involve, among others, the gallery party. Now, there are certain little places down in the village, many of them, in fact. You'll find them scattered along Greenwich. You'll find them scattered off Gramercy. You'll find them in places like Christopher Street, along McDougal Street, 8th Street, all little galleries, see? Walk around the galleries, and then once you will see one that is all lit up, and there's a lot of people walking around in there, and the door is locked. You walk up, knock on the door, they open it up, and you say, "I am from the New Rochelle Times." Instantly you are in. You will be applauded. Right? They will put a glass of drugstore sherry in your hand. And there will be the objet d'art all around the place. Don't look at them. That is the worst thing you can do, because if you do, you automatically show that you are a total out of a type. You're totally out of it. You do not look at them. You immediately walk in small concentric circles, and you will find that you will gather a group of people who will walk in concentric circles with you, because that's what they're all doing anyway. Get into formation. It's counterclockwise, by the way. Because if you start walking clockwise, it's obviously that you're an uptown type. You know that the direction that a man takes in a cocktail party reverses direction once you get south of 14th Street, which is the equator of New York. Just like the equator, you know, in the Earth's equator, when you go south of the equator, water in, say, a sink goes in an opposite direction to the water in a sink north of the equator. Did you know that? You didn't. Well, you stick around. You're going to learn a lot of things tonight, honey. That is true. Didn't you know that? I'm amazed. I'm certain that James Bond must have referred to that somewhere along the line when he woke up and they took the bandage off and he saw the water and the John going one way. He says, "I know I'm south of the equator." Well, I don't know why I know all this stuff. John Scott doesn't. I know that. John Gambling, he never heard of this stuff. In fact, he never listened to the station, you know. But nevertheless, it's too bad. He learned all this stuff. But nevertheless, when you get to south of 14th Street, cocktail parties eddy in a counterclockwise. The people move in a counterclockwise fashion. North of 14th Street, it is clockwise. Now, if you find yourself walking clockwise in a counterclockwise crowd, you are obviously not supposed to be there. They can tell right away. You start bumping into people. And they know that you should be up there, in the uptown world. So when you get down here, and you don't want that said. Now, if you do have it said that you're in an uptown world, you must tell them that you keep a place down on Gramercy or you keep a place down on McDougal Street and that you're spying on the uptown world. Don't ever admit that that's what you dig. All right, now, you're in this party, right? And you're moving counterclockwise, eddying. Now, what do you do? Well, here's one of the things you do. You say, open up with a thing like this. You know, I'm so mad at Susan. Now, everybody will know who Susan is, obviously. And with that, somebody will turn to you, wearing big black horn-rimmed glasses and carrying a copy of the New York Review of Books, will turn to you and say, "What did she say now?" Oh, well. You say, "Well, this is ridiculous. She's just it's too much now." And with that, it'll go on from there. I can only say that what you have done, you have started what in the physical science circles have known, you have hit the critical point of fusion or reaction. The nuclear pile is ready to go. And you don't say any more than that. You just walk around. Carry your sherry. And don't try to drink it. That stuff is bad. Oh, that's bad for you. I've known people that just takes the skin right off your teeth. Don't drink that stuff. However, on the other hand, you will find that as you eddy around, now here's what you're there for. Somebody will say, my God, of course, aren't you a friend of Jerry Kretschmer? You say yes. Absolutely. I thought I saw you at Jerry's place. Look, we're all going up to Bob's after a while. How about going along with us? 5 minutes later, you'll be in the real pay dirt. That's where they start trotting out the smoked salmon. That's where the real party begins. You see, the gallery party is only a catalyst. It is not an end in itself. And by the way, never do this. Do not ever at any point mention the artist. Even the artist does not mention the artist at one of these gallery parties. In fact, if you're a real artist, you don't come to the gallery party that's being thrown for you. That is the height of gaucherie. Absolutely the height of it. So now, am I giving you a little tips here? Are they handy? Are you taking notes? This will appear, by the way, in the Blue Book exam later on in the year. So I just want you to know that this is not to be taken lightly. Now, there's other things, too, to do in these parties. For one thing, any candidate that is mentioned, any candidate that is mentioned, any legitimate candidate of any political party, and you will find them mentioned, don't ever endorse any candidate. Because this is almost of necessity a negative world down there. It is a negative world. Endorsement is a positive feature. Even if you endorse revolution, that is a positive thing. You say, I am disillusioned with the revolution. And then necessary. This is wonderful. Or you say, on the other hand, by the way, you know what's becoming very in now, for those of you who are really working to be in, I'll tell you what's becoming very in, is to be an ultimate reactionary. If somebody asks you what you stand for, say, oh, what do you mean, stand for? And say, well, what do you stand for? Well, let's put it this way. I think the John Birch Society is a left-wing radical group. Man, I'm telling you, you'll be loved, really. I'm serious. Especially will you be loved by three guys that are wearing SDS buttons who are at the party, because they will recognize you as a fellow nut. And somehow, you know, this is a comforting thing to be a mind. It doesn't make a difference what your hang-up is as long as you got one, you see. And that's part of it. Now, that is becoming a very in thing. You know that. Now, on the other hand, if you don't want to go that way, you can say this. Somebody says, "What do you stand for, man?" You say, "Oh, what do you mean, stand for? How ridiculous!" He says, well, "What do you stand for?" I say, "Well, I think Tom Hayden is a Republican." Well, of course, with that, automatically sparks ignite, and you're off to the races. You'll be invited to 525 different parties. In fact, you may be even invited to give a little speech before the evening is out, which would be wonderful, wouldn't it, gang? However, if you expect any action in the old-fashioned prosaic action, you know, any wrestling in the dark, this is out totally in New York parties. You do not show any interest whatsoever in the opposite sex. This is the worst thing you can do. Now, a lot of guys who are innocent, you know, they come running like mad and from Princeton. They think they're going to make the scene. They come running, hey, where's the dames? Oh, forget it. First of all, no girl admits she's a girl even now. She is a person. That is not a girlfriend. Any girl that says, I want you to understand me as a person, go the other way quick. There ain't no business there. Not at all. What she means is, I want you to understand me as a fellow man, male type. A person is designated as a man. So do not ever say you're looking for the chicks, because that will put you out in left field quickly. Very quickly. The one way, now, if you really are interested, this is a challenge. For those of you who like a good challenge, like marlin fishing or something like that, if you like a real challenge, there is a way to get at the action. But you have to do it by being anti-action. You know, in the old days, guys used to fish by simply throwing dynamite in the water, you know. And it was all there was to it. But we're out of that stage now. Abercrombie and Fitch has taught us that one must fish for the wily trout with tapered lines, with the monofilament line. You must tie your own flies. You must stalk the trout for weeks on end. And if you get a nibble, that is a sufficient reason for 2 weeks of work, right? You don't go and throw that dynamite. You'll get fish if you throw it. But who wants that, right? You get that action on 42nd Street. What you are up to is the challenge here. So, what you do, this girl comes up to you. Now, you know she's a girl, no matter what she says. You know, you can see it, see? It's written all over her, you know. And she says to you, hello, and you say hi. And there's a long, pregnant pause. Do not grab her at any point. That comes later, if you're lucky. But don't grab her. You stand there, you look off to the middle distance. And she says, what do you do? Well, you don't say, what I do is wrestle in the back seat of a Pontiac. You say, I get along. See, that's nice in between. You don't want to tell her you work at the Esso station there on the corner of 12th and Pitcairn in East Orange. Oh, I get along. And she says, what a drag. This is an opening line. It's very important. Everything is a drag. What a drag. Well, now, don't localize what a drag is. You say, yeah. That's important. Don't say the party. She may be throwing the party, so be careful. She may be referring to the people. She may be referring to the chandelier. She may be referring to her foot. Who knows? She just says, what a drag. What a drag. And you say, yeah. Now you start to move in. You say, you know, you're the first person I've met at this party. Oh. Because she was about to say to you, the trouble with you is you don't appreciate me as a person. You've already cut her right out from under her entire foundation. You'll notice a slight flicker behind those black shades. Don't move too quick now. You see, what you've done now, you have the wily trout is moving out from under the lily pad, but has not yet taken your hand-tied fly. So you've got to be very careful. That's why you've got to play it carefully. She says, you have, let's split. And then don't say, yeah, where will we go? Don't do that. You say this. Oh, yeah, but one place is the same as another. Now, you know doggone well that her pad is not quite the same as this. But you don't say it. One place is the same as another. Automatically, she says, oh, here's a man. Fantastic. He's putting it all down. What a fantastic guy, see? And then she says, I'd just like to get away. You say, oh, I don't know. Now you see, you have got her wooing you. It's very important in that downtown world. Very important, because a person goes after what a person wants. A person is not gone after. That's bad news. And finally, she says, let's get out of here. How about going over to my place? It's only a couple of doors down. We'll have some good sherry. And you say, eh. Oh, boy. That is the way you say, eh. That is important. All I can say, friends, you're on your own from that point on.
This is WOR New York 7.